Hello, and welcome again to the Monk and Fish podcast. You're joined by myself, the Arrogant Apostle, and as always...
The Specialist.
Specialist, how you been?
Yeah, it's been alright.
Alright.
You know what? You know, I'm very much in good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Exercising. I'm full of ideas of how... I'm full of ideas that are for thinking rather than what I've lost.
Okay.
I've got to that stage, and that's exciting because now the days are going faster.
Here's my question. Why have you lost?
No, I mean, like, you know, what's happened with the crisis, global crisis, mm-hmm. is that a lot of reminiscent about what we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm on board with what can I gain? What's happening next? How can I be plugged into the system? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. I kind of feel like, in a way, I've kind of forgotten. I've forgotten.
2019?
Yeah.
Well, that was Brexit, innit?
I'm just in this shit now. I'm just in this shit now, and that's where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's it. That's
cool. Like, is that really where you are? Is that only the thoughts you've been having?
I don't even think about the past. Oh, I don't.
Yeah, it seems wasteful.
Yeah, I just plan for the future now.
Yeah. I think it's important to do so, because if you kind of... If you linger on it too much of... Because now, what were we? Were we in 8 months? 9 months in?
Oh, you counting? I'm not.
Well, why wouldn't you? It's because a lot happened.
Yeah, listen. Because I feel like it's depressing. Because, for example, like, if I think, where was I this time last year? I'd be like, I was in a paradise island, you know?
Right.
Now I'm in the heart of England. With some fake Londoners.
Is that what Northampton is? The heart of England?
No, but I'm saying in the middle of England. But I'm saying, like, around some fake Londoners.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Well, I don't know. I think, obviously, for someone who's lost their business, they're going to be definitely thinking about the past, you mm-hmm. know, because they were doing well before all this shit kicked off.
Definitely.
However, I think that at the same time, it might be your doom to be holding on to that at this stage, because it feels like things are so rapidly changing. And they're not changing in a way to restore what we used to have. They're changing in a way to remodel and reinvent what we used to have. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get plugged in, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like music. You know when genres change, mm-hmm. and then you see the guys who still hold on to that old style of making that genre work.
Yeah.
Whilst it's more I want to say metamorphin. I don't know. Metamorphin. Yeah. Metamorphin. While it's metamorphin, they get left behind,
mm-hmm.
and really, it never really works out for them. I feel like we're in that stage where the genre is changing, and now you need to start using synth pop. Like,
yeah. Do you know what? It's like, I get what you mean. It's kind of like how, like, remember how weird it was when you had to change the way you work for the COVID.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have to work from home now. I have to do everything. But now we're 8 months in, like, I'm used to.
I'm used to it, and I'm building my life around it.
Around
now.
It,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Mid-afternoon naps at home during work are just the best.
I'm a
power nap, 1.5 hours, you're just like, bam, yeah. Let me do some more work.
I have to actually go into work.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I appreciate it because it gives, like, routine to the day and everything like that.
Well, what's happening with that? Because, like, with everything that's kind of happening, well, are they saying that you might be coming home again?
No, the government has said so, but we don't know when.
Yeah.
But there's been an edict out, so.
Yeah.
Is that... what have I been up to? I was saying to you earlier, recently, I saw a homeless man. I saw a homeless man with a smartphone. He was outside sitting on a tree with a smartphone. On the phone talking to someone, and my mind was just like, where did he get that phone from? Where is he charging that phone? Who is he talking to?
Where is he charging that phone?
Who got him the phone? And why does he need, why does he have urgency in his messages as a homeless person?
Hey man, he needs to get those Google updates. He needs to know what's going on.
How is he doing that? has he got data?
Oh yeah, he would need a contract, wouldn't he?
Yeah. How is he paying his contract?
Yeah.
So
you can get those sims though. You can get those sims where you can get like 500 minutes or 1 gig a day if you pay one time.
But why?
I mean, if you're begging all day and you're using that £10 that you won from your begging on data, you're really not gonna get.
You know what? I'm judging him. It'd be so cool to find out like he was calling his kids.
Yeah.
Like, I might be homeless, but I'm still a parent.
Dude, I've got a story for you, right? It was after my date. With this girl, right? And It's a weird story. A lot of there'll probably be more questions than answers in this story, but just indulge me.
Okay.
All right. So it was after this day, with his girl, and then I came back home. She went back home. Walking back, and I bump into these Irish lads, mm-hmm. and these Irish lads are just like, ah. And they're asking me for change to buy booze. I'm just like, nah, man, I've got some weed back of mine. You want to come over? And they came over. And we were smoking weed. They were buskers. So one of the guys starts breaking out in tune and everything like that. I want to fast forward. It was a very interesting night. Very fun night, actually. I like the Irish. I like the Irish. So I always look after them after they looked after me when I was in Ireland. So when we're at the... This guy starts talking about his problems. His problems. And he's just like this because he's in a bad situation. Like, he's, I think he was with his dad at the time when I met them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're living in one of those flats, but they're really in bad situations. I mean, they were asking me for change for booze, you know. Yeah, that's a red herring.
I have a story for you. Yeah.
So he shows me a video of his life before all of this went down, man. And this guy, okay, so if I would describe him, he's got a mustache and a slight beard on his chin, more kind of goatee kind of thing. Mm-hmm. His hair was scraggy. He was wearing a sort of loosey t-shirt. He didn't look clean, nor did he look smart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When he showed me this video, it's him in the car, what looks like, you know, one of those X-trailer kind of cars, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of Range Rover kind of cars.
4x4.
Yeah, yeah, 4x4 kind of cars.
Or SUV.
Yeah, that's it. So... He's in there. He's clean, man. He's clean shaven. His hair stripped back. He's wearing a polo shirt. He's looking like privileged white.
Mm-hmm.
and he's just singing to this music and everything like that. And I was just like, wow. You know, when you really think about it, someone can fall that far. And he didn't look any different from what he looked now in terms of, like, he didn't look aged. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a lifetime that happened ages ago. This was like something that happened a couple of months ago. He looked fresh. He looked great. It broke my heart, man. I was just like, oh my God. And he was a sound dude. He was okay dude, but he was riddled with guilt, with everything that happened to him. He was just stuck there.
Corona is the equalizer of all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I was going to say that the funny thing is, so I saw today, talking about homeless people and whatever. I was in a supermarket and I was doing my grocery shopping. And so I was looking at booze, which I was to buy. And next to me was two people who I can only assume are homeless. And they've been given a bit of money.
Right.
Right. And they were basically buying all the bottles of cheap booze you could buy in the shop.
Right.
Like the whole shelf.
Cheap cider.
Like the whole shelf. The whole shelf. They took every single bottle of cheap cider and filled it in two trolleys.
What?
Yeah. And I was just sat there. And I was like, they're going to have a fun night.
Yeah.
Whatever happens tonight is going to be a good night.
What else are they going to do tonight? What else are they going to do? You're sleeping rough. What else are you going to do?
They would have at least between them, at least 12 2-liter bottles between them.
You see, my solution for the homeless is, for us, and particularly in this country, and the fact that we're a welfare state, right? Is literally give them an address. Just give them a place where they can chill.
They can. There's a company that does that.
Do they?
A lot of them choose not to, because when they give you the free house, you have a mandate to do certain things to clean up your life.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't want to do that.
My mate once told me the craziest shit, right? My mate told me that his mom works as a detective.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that some of the homeless will live in the house, like, and they pay board to these, like, traffickers.
Mm-hmm.
And what the traffickers do, they pick them all up from whatever location where they all live.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drop them off in town so that they can work. So essentially, they're begging for themselves, but they're begging to pay the board in the house. How mad is that?
Man, where there's a way.
Yeah, right?
Where there's
an opportunity, there's probably criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. What are we talking about today, anyways?
Anyway, so... So the Trump, debate with,
Biden. Biden. Yeah,
yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
So,
you watched it.
Yeah, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so the initial reaction from what I saw was, this was a dumpster fire. This was a shit debate, and yeah, it is.
It is what?
It is embers of that, of like it is a shit debate. But I was more watching, you know, like sometimes we argue often, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, let's be factual here. A lot of our arguments are dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
So I was able to sort of, at first I was like, this is a shit debate. But at the same time, I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to step away from the quality of the debate and just see who's actually trying to win here. And I think that Biden looked better than Trump.
You know what? Okay. I did think Biden looked better than Trump. I'll say that. I did think Biden looked better than Trump. But right. Then what was interesting, because before and after the debate, they were talking about this one guy who used to work in Hillary's campaign, who used to work as a Trump impersonator for their debate.
What?
Yeah. And basically, all the things, and all the basically play out, and it turns out like all the things that Trump did in this debate really were the same things he did in Hillary's debate. So, and Hillary did pretty much all the things that Biden did, and Hillary still lost. I was like, even though what Trump is doing is silly, and what
it's essentially a copyright of what he did before,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. And if he won with that, there's no reason to say he'd lose with
his. You know, it's interesting you said that, because that was one of the thoughts I had. It's like, as much as it was, you know, so aggressive, it's very similar to what he did to Hillary.
Yeah.
And Biden was reacting exactly how Hillary acted.
And the problem with Biden, I found that later on in the speeches when he was struggling to put his words out of his mouth.
Yeah, he was.
So I just in the end, I kind of felt sorry for him. But then the thing is, like, I'm at least conscious enough or intelligent enough to know that I'm not judging a politician about how charismatic they are. I'm judging them on what their puns are.
Yeah, but that's more to do with our British culture. Because our British culture,
Stop. We live in a nation that voted for Boris Johnson over Jeremy Corbyn. Because...
Okay, take your Labour allegiance out of it.
No.
For a minute.
Hear me out.
Despite Boris being who he is, there is still... I mean, yeah, he lies. Yeah, he sensationalized shit. But there's still a lot of substance in what he says. And British people are all about... British people do not like it when all you are is just loud and one way. British people do like to know whether you've got something to say and something that's worth saying. That is a very cultural thing about this country, I think.
I disagree vehemently. And I think what you're saying is ridiculous, and I'm going to explain to you why. I can't believe you say this as an intelligent person.
What?
But I can't believe you even said those things.
But you have said,
Boris has lied to us, he's deceived us and everything.
Yeah.
And then you're like saying, like, we can't stand when someone is being ridiculous. But literally, he has been. He has done the same things. He has said things that aren't true. He has done things that are silly. We literally don't even trust his government anymore.
Yeah,
literally, he has elected cabinet ministers who are incompetent.
Yeah.
Gavin, what's his face?
Yeah. Imagine if that was his last name.
Gavin, what's his face?
What's his face?
Gavin, what's his face? Messed up the whole school grades things. And we had to have a whole referendum on how the school grades are given out. Dominic Cummings, who genuinely doesn't know what he's doing at his job.
Okay.
Right? And also breaking curfew law. And
did you call it curfew law?
No, he's breaking curfew law, he's breaking corona law, he's breaking COVID law, he's breaking all those things, and he doesn't have furlough law. No.
Curfew law. What the hell is curfew law?
So remember when they said that you couldn't go out to different people's houses?
Yeah.
He went off to his girlfriend's house in the middle of all that.
No, that's not Cummins. That's not Cummins. That's the guy who created the lockdown model.
Okay.
They call him Mr. Lockdown.
Okay. So there's that guy. And then Cummings, what did Cummings do? Cummings went to his mum.
He went to his mum's house 200 miles away. And he also drove to test how his eyes work.
Yeah. He did that. One minister caught a train from London during COVID after she tested positive.
Oh yeah, the S&P minister, the Scottish minister.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So
I couldn't believe when I read that story. I was like, she was tested, the day before, she made the is it 200 miles, 700 mile journey?
200 mile journey.
To Westminster to go into the House of Commons. She found out at Westminster that she was positive, and she made the journey back to Scotland.
Exactly. And so she infected more people on the way. On a train.
Imagine this.
Not in a car.
Yeah, on a train.
On a train.
On a train. That's madness.
So I'm not differentiating. All I'm trying to say is that British people cannot sit on a high horse.
No, I'm not saying that I don't think British people sit on a high horse. And it's important I say this, that I'm not saying this out of patriotism. As someone who is African, I'm able to look at this from the outside.
Isn't it weird how African leaders are dealing with this better than
how strange is that? But it's a hot country, though. We have to think about that as well, isn't it?
I'm glad you speak on this. So there's a study that came out. We will get back to
the Trump debate.
It's just things happening. So there's a study that came out, and if you're a black person, or if you're an Asian person, East Asian person, you'd be just interested to know this, okay? So it turns out that Neanderthals... I'm going wild with this, isn't it?
Okay.
Turns out Neanderthals have a gene in their body that makes it more susceptible to corona. And the thing is that Neanderthals existed in Europe and they mixed bred with European Homo sapiens.
Okay.
So that gene is in European people.
Wait, I'm learning things. Homo sapiens and Neanderthals are two different things.
They're two different species of the same gene. Okay. So like when... Homo sapien, which is what we are.
Yeah.
Coming from Africa, humans.
Are we Homo sapien? Also, Homo sapien means...
So the African
indigenous
human is the Homo sapien, and it moves out Africa and takes over the world.
Yeah.
But there were other human species.
So Neanderthals are in the north. Are they in the north? But Neanderthals are in the European...
Europe Western. And Eurasian. So they're spread in the Eurasian period. Right? We beat them, and that's why humans are the... Homo sapiens are the only one left because we beat everyone else.
No.
But there were like loads of them. So there's Homo sapiens, Denisovans, and all these other different species.
Oh, really?
They've all died out except for us. But parts of them exist in different people's genes just because of like spreading out interbreeding. Right? So for example, if you're descended from Asians, then you'd have some Neanderthal maybe and some Denisovan and Homo sapien largely part of your body. But anyway, Europeans, which Neanderthals were Europeans, so Europeans tend to have your Neanderthal genes inside them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that Neanderthal gene, there's something in it that's makes it more susceptible to corona virus. Whereas like in the Homo sapien from Africa, which we are, so we'd be like 100%.
Is that why human. You're not wearing masks anymore? You're just like,
I literally had a mask.
I know. I'm joking. I just feel like this conversation is leading to this is why I'm no longer social distancing, because I'm safe.
What I'm trying to say, it's just interesting that
this corona got nothing on me.
If you're African, you're just less likely to be susceptible.
I know what you're saying. That's why I'm parodying it right now.
That's just a cool fact to know.
Yeah.
Wow.
It dawned on me.
Because then it just dawned on me. It dawned on me because I was like, wow, maybe God just wants his white people to die. Hear me out. I'm saying God just wants white people to die because he's got fires in California. He's got coronavirus killing his white people. But he's Africans.
It's all biblical.
I just saw impervious to this shit.
It's all biblical. Yeah. This is the end times for them.
Yeah. If you've read the Bible, God sends fires to do shit. He does it all the time. That's his calling card.
But okay, here's... Okay, I've got to counter that.
He sent pestilence for the whites. What do you want me to say?
So God's just racist, but in a,
he's racist in a way. He's racist strong. Yeah. God believes in...
Oh, God's BLM. Yeah, he's been caught up. He saw what happened to George Floyd, and he was like, no, that is not acceptable.
God supports the Black Lives
Matter. Yeah, he does. No justice.
No peace.
He decreed that. He said it, and it was good.
All I'm saying, if you let his people go, it would fix his problem.
So I'm gonna counter that by the fact that
do you need to counter it? No,
I want to counter by the fact that it's only a logical counter.
Are you Judas?
I want to counter with the fact that They're saying that black, like minorities or ethnic minorities are dying disproportionately to white people, though. They That's what they keep saying.
They are dying disproportionately to white people.
Yeah, so
in America, but in Africa, though.
Yeah, but so they if they've got an African lineage in it, they've got an African genetic connection. So if
exactly,
they're Homo sapiens as well, don't they?
No, but here's what I'm saying. One is the statistic. If you go by what Joe Biden said,
all right,
1 in 500.
Yeah, he said some stupid statistic. He said 1 in 100, was it?
No,
1 in 100?
I'm saying specifically, I'm telling you, this. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. He said specifically, 1 in 500 African-Americans die from COVID.
Right.
Because of the lack of his healthcare. Uh-huh. Right? That's fine. But you know where most black people live?
Uh-huh.
In Africa.
Right.
And them niggas are A-okay.
Yeah, but also, it's doing really well in Thailand. And the
it's not.
Yeah, because Thailand hasn't got that many many deaths per case.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because those are some dark skinned niggas, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, isn't
it? I don't know.
It's the right
I don't know. I don't even want to stand by it because there's some dark skinned niggas here, isn't it?
Yeah, you're gonna lose some niggas. But
why are you gonna lose some niggas? I mean, that's what they were saying to each other on the boats when they reached
our car.
Why are you gonna lose? You gotta lose some niggas.
Nah. I feel like when God is like, I'm gonna put the corona shit on them. But Moses was like, God, you're gonna have so many black people, and the guy was like, you're gonna lose some niggas.
Yeah, I can't promise anything. Yeah. What do you think I am? Like some sort of almighty being?
What do you think of God? Is yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm figuring this shit out as well.
Play by the ear. They ain't really the best niggas anyway.
Yeah. I was at my Muay Thai class, I was talking to the guy about the Trump Biden debate, and he said something that made me laugh. Like,
were you mid high kicks and then you asked me about
politics? Yeah, we stopped after the first round. I was like, did you watch the debate? was like, ha ha ha. Nah, man, that debate was stupid.
You know, but like.
He was saying that it was so bad he just imagined Biden just flinging a used condom on top of Trump. He was saying that it was so divisive level. He just imagined just like it just escalated to the point where people are just chucking shit at each other.
To be honest, what I want to say is what I did like about it was this. Even though Trump was being immature, if Biden had not been immature himself as well, I'd have lost respect for him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's kind of like this. It's like, if you're out in the street,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're out in the street, like you're coming from groceries or you're just walking to your car or ratata, bretete, mm-hmm. right? You're doing that. And then some guy comes up to you and he just starts talking shit,
mm-hmm.
right? You have those two choices. You can either say, okay, I'm going to be civil, I'm going to not say anything. I'm going to be the bigger person. And that's fine, morally. That's fine. But I mean, seeing it, you know what I mean? Like optically, like just seeing it, just apparent in your face, right? You're going to lose respect for the person who's being quiet because in your head, you're like, yo, tell the motherfucker to shut the fuck up. Right? You're saying that, right? I know the bigger person is meant to not do nothing about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
in your head as a bystander, you're like, ostensibly, in your face, you're seeing someone go, you ain't shit, nigga, you bitch, nigga, you bitch ass. And the other guy's just saying like, sir, walk away from me. Sir, I'm not scared of you. Sir, I'm not intimidated. That shit will put you off the nigga saying that.
Yeah,
so what you want is a motherfucker who's like, keep chatting shit with his hand clapping like, keep chatting shit, and you hear that, nigga, I will, yo, bro, say something in it, bro. I'm down for it. You know what I mean? I'm down with the shit. You want to hear someone say that.
I agree 100%.
Exactly.
100%.
So hear it like, when like Biden was like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Look at, he's a fuck up. He's a mess up.
Yeah, I was like, he called him a clown, didn't he?
Yeah, so when he said that, I was like, that's my nigga.
Yeah, because yeah,
that's true. Then you
told him to shut up as well. Exactly. Yeah, and that's right.
And he kept saying, "Ah, oh, this guy doesn't know." What's no, doing.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's the problem with a lot of how people have been dealing with Trump. Is like it, I
fire with
you know
fire.
You have to also agree, and I'm just throwing this out there. It's not like I've been contemplating it, so this might be just be a random thought. But you have to agree. There's intelligence in bullying, isn't it? Bully has always been portrayed as someone who's just this dumb person who's insecure, but actually there's an intelligence in bullying because if someone comes up to you with that confrontational behavior, most people do not have the strong character to show up in that moment. They immediately become they rescind from the actual situation. Whoa. And they're like, hey, why would you talk to me like that? Hey, why would it? But everything you're saying is right, man. It's like ah, you ain't shit. Like, fuck you. it's like you have to meet them at that level or else what?
Like you said, right? When he said fuck you back, then I can put my money on him because I'm like, oh shit, I think that this nigga could beat the other nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But if he didn't say anything, I'd be like, oh
that's
shit.
That's actually why I think he did so well.
That's exactly. But the other thing is, I come back to it, and you were like saying, like, sometimes the bully, people say don't bully or whatever, but it's, the thing is, like, listen, violence is never the first answer.
Yeah.
But it should always be the last answer.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not your first answer.
Yeah.
But definitely your last answer.
A contingency plan.
You know what I mean? Because it's soul shit. It's soul shit. There's never been nothing that has been sold by violence. Here's my point, right? You might go to war, everyone might die, but that problem is definitely finished.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
regardless of what happens, right? And that's the kind of thing. I'm not saying Trump and things should be violent with each other, though. I would love to see
it. Oh, that would be great. remember that show?
Do you know what I love to see? Just because the way they build these debates up, it's the same as a boxing match.
Yeah, it does. You know, really.
But here's my thing. Here's my thing, right?
Introducing on the left corner. Some people call him an orangutan. Some people don't know what color he is.
Here's my thing. So there's that. So I was just sitting there thinking, I respect him more because actually he's had the balls to just go, like, this guy doesn't know what's doing. Because you know what's annoying? Like, Obama's not the president, right? He's the former president. Mm-hmm. But even as a former president, he still won't say, this guy's dumb, bro.
Yeah.
He won't say it. He'll be like, oh, Trump was given a chance. Here's my point. He'll be like, Trump has been given a chance. Trump has given opportunities. But, bro, just say what we all know. This guy's dumb. Yeah. He didn't want this job. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's facts.
Yeah, well,
why is he not saying this?
If you're debating someone and if he's your opponent, it's the right thing to do. You got to call him out. You got to debase that person. You got to debase the image of
that
person.
Hillary didn't
do
that. That's the problem.
No, she did. The problem is she went after. The problem with Hillary, she went after not just Trump. She went after his supporters. And some of the supporters lived in New York. And they were all for the liberal things. And they actually wanted what Trump was selling. So they were like, when she turned around and called everyone, all of Trump's supporters, baskets of deplorables. She insulted a lot of people that were still on the fence. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Listen.
Yeah, she went after them. Her tactic was really poor. At the moment I heard, when I heard her say the basket of deplorables things, I was like, you've lost this election because you've just pissed off everyone else and now you've made them seem like they're stupid. But a lot of things that Trump ran on were valid. Like, okay. there were issues with the economy from Obama's time.
Okay.
So, but let me answer the Obama statement. Obama, I watched Obama's speech, I think maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. He did a speech. And
he did
it was
one recently as well.
He's such an excellent speaker, man. He's such a brilliant.
Stop saying that.
He's
Stop
savvy. That. He's savvy as fuck, man. He's such a good speaker. Like, when you listen to him,
it's on another level.
Stop. I don't give a fuck. Obama.
Stop it for a second. I just need you to.
Obama's a great
speaker.
The
one thing I hate, beyond anything, and the fact that you're doing it as a black person is disappointing. I hate when people credit black people for being good speakers.
Right.
Why is that a credit?
I'm not doing it because he's black. I'm talking about presidents. We're talking about presidential candidates. Why do you think
what president?
You've insulted all our white audiences now with all your just outlandish statement that was taken out of context of what I was explaining.
Okay.
I'm talking about...
Tell me what...
reason I was responding
hold
to...
Hold on, listen to my question. Okay, what president was not
no,
a great speaker?
No, I'm comparing Obama to the guys who are running for the job right now.
Hear me out right now. What president do you know that was not a great speaker? Trump is a great speaker.
Bush was a terrible speaker.
No,
Bush was an awful speaker. Have you heard his gaffes? There's a whole list of them. They did like a short Arnold Schwarzenegger thing as well with like 100 things that Bush has said. He said some stupid shit. I'm talking about Obama being this flawless. You have to. You've listened to. Have you listened to him speaking recently?
Yes, I have.
He, like, as a statesman, man, he is just like. And we don't. If you compare Obama to a lot of statesmen out there.
Here's my question. Who was the greatest speaker of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Mandela.
No. Adolf Hitler.
How so?
He convinced a whole nation and a group of billionaires to take over the world.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about.
Was he politically?
Actually, Martin Luther King's probably a greater speaker than Adolf.
No, Adolf has mobilized more people than Martin Luther King.
Yeah, but I'm talking about. You gotta think about. You're talking about Germany. That's mostly full of white people. Having a speaker that can connect all people from different lives and what's it called?
Look, okay, for example, statistically speaking, Martin Luther King organized maybe 100,000 people to mobilize at a meeting. Yeah? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know.
That's a Millionaire March was the largest mobilization he's achieved.
I'm not denying what Germany did. I'm talking about who's a greatest speaker.
Here's what I'm saying.
In terms of uniting people.
There you go.
Yeah, but mostly white Germany.
Hear me out.
That's not uniting people.
Let me speak and then you get my point.
All right.
Okay. So, Germany, a nation, has more people than the amount of people than Martin Luther King. Now, what you're equating it is to saying, like, who's united people in a positive sense? But orating has nothing to do with morality. It has everything to do with purpose and intention, right? For his own purposes, Hitler had no political education to be the chancellor. He had none of those. All he had was his passion and his words and his speech. He was able to orate the nation of Germany, the nations around him, to create. He had allies in that war. He wasn't Germany alone. Germany had allies and all the people. Through his words, he was able to orate people who had the expertise to mobilize his vision into plan and motivation and do that. Do you think Martin Luther King had the oratory experience knowledge to mobilize those civil rights movement nations around everything to do? They didn't. He died as a sacrificial goat, and years later, the reason we're having this conversation is because he never achieved his goal. Adolf Hitler had a 3-5 year stint doing this shit. Even to this day, you still deal with Nazis because he was so good at orating that he goes through the barriers of time. That's how good he is.
Okay.
So when we talk about orating, we're talking about what you can convince people to do despite your position.
Okay.
Trump is a great orator, and he's a much greater orator than Biden. Trump is much better at speaking than Biden. Even when we listen to him, even though we don't like what he's saying, it's kind of fun to listen to him. It's kind of enjoyable. We still kind of look, because that's charisma. That's the ability to speak. He has that.
Okay. So, can you quote a single sentence from any speeches that Hitler has made?
I don't pay attention to Hitler's life.
No, but I mean, if he's that good and he can extend the barriers of time, can you quote a sentence from Martin Luther King's speech?
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, let's break this down. So what you want me to say is I can say that I have a dream speech, and then I say I can't remember Hitler's speech. But then as a black person who lives in Europe,
why wouldn't you know about, I mean, what about a person in Asia who knows that speech, what about that, stop filibustering
let me answer your question
because you like that. Stop filibustering. No, that's quite good.
Right,
very topical.
You're still doing it. Stop talking.
Go on then.
You're asking me, a black person, who's not pro-anti-black, who's pro-multiculturalism, why I don't have knowledge in Hitler's life and his speeches and the edict, because they're not meaningful to me. It's in the same way, if you walk up to the white supremacist who doesn't give a shit about black or hates black, right, and you say, what can you tell me about Rosa Parks? Do you think he's educating himself?
You think that a white supremacist doesn't know the Rosa Parks story?
I've met loads of white people who don't know the Rosa Parks
story. Are you serious?
Yes. In fact, I trained with a white woman who genuinely thought that she was teaching me and one of my mentors about Rosa Parks for the first time. And okay. We both were so bemused and shocked and flabbergasted that someone doesn't know this, but people exist like that.
But it's,
let me finish my point because you're interrupting now.
Yeah, but no.
You're interrupting. Let me finish my point. My point is that there are your world
okay.
shapes your view of the world, right? You are pro-black, you are pro-decent, you're pro-liberalism, you're pro all these things, right? So in your world, everyone you know, everything you perceive, shapes the world to be this way. But in the other world, where someone who's anti the things you're anti, they don't perceive the things you perceive and you don't perceive the things they perceive. Do you understand?
Okay.
So for example, as a white, if I was in a white supremacist world, would I, if I heard Martin Luther King say, "I have a dream," I'll turn that TV off and say, "That is fake news." If the teacher said this, I would say, I don't want my kids to learn about that.
But you
literally, in Trump's debate, he said, we don't want that stuff in education because it's teaching America that it's racist. It's mm-hmm. teaching America it's a bad place. So the fact that he even puts those things out there shows that there's a group of people in America who don't want to learn about that topics.
But you're conflating issues. We're talking about speakers, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about speakers.
And the effect of the speakers.
And the aim of what I was trying to explain is, and in particular what I was trying to contradict in what you were saying, is that because Hitler mobilized the most of Europe in his own advances, right, that made him a great speaker. And you say this, and then you carried on that there's neo-Nazis forming as a result of the impact that he's made, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And thus evidence of breaking through time and being part of like the fabric of the culture. But at the same time, I could come across a neo-Nazi who knows the "I have a dream." They've been exposed to it at some point. So but and you were saying that, like, as a black man, you and your cultural background, you wouldn't really care for what Hitler has done. But actually, you know more. You're probably one of the few out there who actually know a lot about World War II history and a lot about how Hitler rose and what was happening between the Allies and stuff like that. I know a lot about that. Yeah, so yes, you do care, but you may not be important to you as is Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela or Robert Mugabe. It may not be important to you to that sense, but it is stuck to you because that person matters. Now the question when we're talking about the specificity of speeches is, if I am a white supremacist and I could give two shits about black lives and I could give two shits about black culture, if someone said, "I have a dream," I at least in my head know he's talking about that Martin Luther King speech. So who is a great speaker? And this is the reason why I used Obama as a great speaker, is because when you actually listen to how he formulates his words to the point where he's saying stuff that's very encouraging and he's touching on really serious subjects, but he's being very delicate about the people who are listening to him, because he doesn't just want to throw incendiary shit. He doesn't want to divide the people. He just wants to rationalize with them, which is what Martin Luther King did, which is what a lot of our leaders and a lot of people who've changed this world have done. The problem with Trump, he is a great speaker. And when I look at Trump, and I want to say, when I look at Trump, I just think this is another American phenomenon. This is why America as a country. Because they keep creating these phenomenons of characters. Whether it's negative or not, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the docuseries on Netflix, to be honest with you. It's going to be dope. It's going to be so dope. And it's going to be great because it's going to be like, "Ah, shit, I remember that shit." You know what I mean?
Okay,
but at the same time, will the words that Trump has used carry straight into time? Will one day my children will know that Trump once said this thing, and they will know it off the bat? They'll be like, "Oh yeah, that's a Trump thing." Will they know that? No, because he doesn't have words that stick, that touch it, that what did he call it, that pulls the heartstrings. He doesn't have words like that. He just has words that cause a reaction right now, just like Hitler. He just has words that are very, what do they call them, populist. That's what they call it, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. So let's say Hitler, and then we'll say populist and we'll say everything, okay?
Yeah.
So the thing is, let's talk about these two people. So we'll separate Hitler and we'll separate Trump. But we'll talk about the effectiveness.
Yeah, I'm not saying Hitler. I'm not saying Trump is Hitler, by the way.
Okay, no.
I'm just saying that the strategy is very similar to each other.
Okay, hear me out. My argument was this. My argument was Hitler was a great orator.
Right.
That's what I was saying. I'm saying that there are great orators on both sides. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that Hitler would probably, in history books, be...
No, but the crux of this conversation...
Why don't you let me finish my what I'm saying?
Right.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was the greatest orator just on the... able to affect the world through his words. Because Hitler had no political allies before his words. He had no political agenda before his words. But his words shaped the history of the world, right? History books are 90%... 80% in Europe about Hitler and his effect on Europe. Every European country is affected by the effect of what happened in 1914, 1939.
Right, it was World War, though.
Yeah, because of Hitler's words and his idea. All right. What I'm saying is that regardless of how nice the things that Martin Luther King wanted, they did not change the shape of the entire world with the same effect as the world as a Hitler did. Hitler's effect ended European colonialism just because of the war he started.
Yeah.
Hitler's effect changed the course of Japan. Hitler changed the course of the world by America utilizing the nuclear weapons for the first time. Hitler's effect changed the course of USS Russia because of all of those things, right? All these things are things that happened because of Hitler.
Yeah, but you...
And also, the freedoms of the nations in Africa for them to be able to develop their own nation. That's all because...
But you're deviating from what we're discussing.
I'm talking about the grandiosity of his ability to orate and the change it affected. Okay, now let's go to Trump. Look, it's not a competition. I'm just saying that those things happen.
Because I'm listening.
Yeah, because if Hitler didn't say the things he said, those things wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the effect of his words. Now we look at Obama. Obama's effects are incredible, and effects could be used more so, right? But because he sustained from directly saying things. He doesn't call Trump out as being an idiot. He doesn't call Trump out as a... And if he did those things, those things would have more effect in the world. But he tries to be bipartisan, right, in the situation. Now, we go to Trump. Trump is not a politician by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. He's not prepared, but all he has is oratory skills. His ability to speak has changed the nature of what America is at the moment. And then coming to the other question.
True.
Are you telling me that Trump will not be in the history books?
No, he definitely will be a huge part of
so
it.
So then what? Yeah, how can you tell me that history. There's nothing Trump has done that will be remembered? Your children will know about him because he will be in the history books. So they will know
about
him.
That's true. And even more so if he wins the election.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact is, because it's not a lie that nobody knows. Everyone's
watching him.
Here's the thing. They were doing an interview on TV and they were saying like... So, Florida gave back prisoners right to vote, didn't it? And this black guy who's campaigning for it and was gathering money for a charity to pay fines for people. Mm-hmm. He paid fines for this one white dude who's a Trump supporter, who's a Trump voter. That white dude sang at the black guy's wedding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had a friendship. But the white dude is still a Trump supporter and he still says all lives matter.
Oh, wow.
So... And he knows how bad Trump doesn't support him, but he still says, I'm still supporting Trump.
Yeah, there's a really good, strong black vote for Trump. Like, a vote.
No. The black dude, here's what I'm saying. The black dude doesn't vote for Trump.
He's
on the other side. But there's still white people who, even though they receive help from the other side, they'll still say, I still vote for Trump.
Oh, okay.
Regardless of everything that's happened.
No, you know what? You know what? I've got a story about this. So this is why, like, I love the Irish. They really looked after me that day when I did that layover, right?
Yeah.
So I was in I was invited to this pub where they were doing what do you call it? Festival, yeah, metal festival. I bumped into this dude. I was walking around Ireland, Shannon for ages. I bumped into this dude. They were doing a festival, and I started talking to these two guys. And one was they were both American. One was a Democrat, and one was a Republican. They were like best friends, and they were telling me actually at the time they were just like, yeah, I don't really agree with anything he says. Oh yeah, I don't agree with anything he says. I think like maybe he misconstrues Trump, but you know we're still friends. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so that happens. Anyway,
it's literally
yeah, that
it's a real
happens.
thing.
That
Yeah,
happens.
it's
Yeah.
a, but it's because in so many ways he's got away with it with kind of appealing to the common man, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I think that when you
Look at the debate.
when you look at a debate, I still think that Joe did a really good job in terms of. Like what you said, he called him out, called him a clown. He defended his son. His son's shady. His son's really shady. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, have you met
So
Trump's kids before?
that's a problem with Trump. That argument
It's
of
not the pro it's
nepotism
not the problem.
is redundant. Like
It's
you.
not the problem. It's the thing about him because he can just say things that
Yeah,
are
but it's not
lies.
lost on people who are paying attention, and people are paying more attention now than they've ever before. I mean, I'm still at the stage where I think he might win.
I feel like if I'm being honest with you, I feel like your argument is sound if you're looking at it from a liberal perspective. But if you're being bipartisan now or being in between and realizing the other people aren't hearing what you're hearing, they're not seeing what you're seeing,
Yeah.
they're not seeing Trump's
Yeah,
stupidity.
but the
They're see
majority, though, most people are led by the majority consensus.
okay, but the majority of America is white. The majority of white people might not want this person. Obviously, the majority is not even the problem, because the problem is the Electoral College, because the majority voted for Hillary.
And you're saying that the minority groups will be feeling a different way about him.
What I'm saying is that people who support parties don't change parties because of speeches.
What do you feel about Biden, by the way? What's your personal view on Biden?
My personal view on Biden is that I think he'll do a better job than Trump.
Yeah.
I think that he's a politician. I don't think he can fix all the problems that we're facing. I don't think he has anything in his
And
power
we are
in.
facing, you mean they are facing?
Well, they're
There's
facing, but
a whole ocean
yeah,
between
they're
us,
facing. But I'm not talking about they,
man.
I'm talking about black people. That's what I'm
Oh,
talking about.
okay.
I
You
don't
don't
think.
feel like they pander to black people too much?
So what I'm saying is that I don't think that they have that Biden has the power to fix policing. I don't think he has a plan that can actually fix policing. So that's really one of the main things we talk about. I don't think he has a plan to address racism. I think he has a plan that promotes equality, but not to address racism.
Right.
And I don't think that a black president will be allowed to address racism. I personally believe that he's better. I support him. I think he speaks better. I think Hillary would have been a better president than
Are you
Biden.
serious,
Yeah.
man? Fuck the Clintons,
The
man.
problem with Hillary is that she didn't say things in a way you
Hey,
like.
Bill's connected to Jeffrey Epstein, man. I don't trust that dude no more. I don't trust what he's about. I don't trust what he's doing. And he's already got that scandal when he had that fling
What?
with the White House intern. So I don't really trust the Clintons at all. I feel like I watched a documentary with my sister about like the Clintons, right?
Yeah.
And that well we on the documentary, right? There's at the end of it, like you see her whole life. Her life has been amazing. Great woman, absolutely great woman. But at the end of it, it's almost like it's rolling out, like the film's over, and then these makeup people come in and they just clean up her face and everything. But they've kind of stopped the interview, they've kind of stopped filming, but there's still people around her just cleaning up her face. So a lot of people saw through that because Hillary always had that mask on. She couldn't relate with anybody. Well, a lot of Americans are very real, man. You gotta think America is such a vast country. Some people are in snow and some people are living in farms and stuff
Fair
like
enough.
that. So the connection that Trump has found with these people is just he recognized that the viewers who were tuning in to a mentor apprentice were the kind of viewers that would be in these kind of rustic areas, places where they enjoy just sitting at home watching TV. They're not like these ideologues in New York and in more in the East Coast and stuff like that. He saw that they had problems just like the coal mining and stuff like that, and he connected with them. The problem with Biden for me in terms of his walk with racial injustice is that he's also forgoing law and order, and they brought it up on the debate that, you know, Trump called him out and said, "You don't want to say or disavow this group Because if you say it, you're gonna piss off all these other people that you are saying that
What
the
is
one.
the point you're trying to
Yeah,
make?
so my point is that he did a good job in what you're explaining, that he stood up to Trump and made him kind of look stupid in a lot of it, and you know, when Trump was interrupting and stuff like that, he made him feel stupid, and then calling him a clown again made him still feel stupid. But when you listen to Biden, you're not sure why he can't just grab onto some of these things that are actually happening right now. He doesn't seem plugged in. He seems, again, part of that New York, Washington, elite people who are just trying to protect what Trump has really ruffled for a little bit. He lost a good opportunity because Trump was too presumptive about using the same method as I did with Hillary is going to work on this guy. And he went into it and people were just like, well, we've seen this trick before. But the thing is with Biden never really caught on to what he could have done that
I
could have
hear
sold himself a little bit more. And I get it. Yeah, he could change Africa. Like you said, he could change racial issues in America. But you're like, at the same time, you don't know how he's going to do that.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You said a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack. Hillary, it doesn't matter what Hillary's personality was like, her policies is what matters, and her policies were better than Biden's
But she
policies.
was just not that
Her
good.
policy was better than Biden's. That's all that matters. Her policy was better than everyone's. Hillary would have made a better better president. Okay, that's the first thing you said. And back in the second thing, Biden not connecting to that group of people.
Yeah.
The thing that I've learned over the process of watching everything that's happened in America is that, not even America, just the world as well. Generally, you're South African,
Yeah.
right? You in South Africa, you have a number of political parties,
Yeah.
right? The prevailing party, which is the party of Mandela, is the ANC, right?
Right.
And regardless of what happens, regardless of how the people who are the leaders of the ANC handle the seat of being president of South Africa, they'll never lose their seat. Yeah? They'll never lose their seat.
Better, yeah.
Because people vote parties the way they support sports teams or that, in that they don't really care how bad it is. They just won't change party, right? There is nothing that I think, there's nothing that Biden could have said in that debate that would have changed the minds, hearts and minds of that
Oh,
rural,
the
that
Trump
real
supporters.
Republic. In the same
Yeah.
way, there is nothing Republicans will say that would change the minds of the
But a
liberals.
lot of Republicans have endorsed him, though.
Here's my point. Here's my point. Those party lines are almost like your family.
Right.
Regardless of what happens, you stick with them and then they get better. And that's the problem at the moment because it just won't change. So if Trump wins because the people who voted for him before are the same people willing to vote for him now. And if Trump wins is because nothing has changed, right? That's the reason why we all worry that Trump could win. Because despite of how much we know the other guy says bad things, we know that there's people outside of the world we live in, outside of our own personal sphere, who sees the other guy as a hero, who sees the other guy as being great and doing the right things. Because as much as Trump doesn't disavow the police, the fact that he's avowing the police, there's a base that's like, that's what we need. As much as Trump doesn't disavow the NRA, there's another base that's like, that's what we need. So he's covered his
Well,
bases.
he's polarizing, isn't
He's not polarizing. He's serving his base.
he? Okay.
He's not polarizing. He's not antagonizing his base. There's no point where Trump has denied his base. When Trump could have said, stop this violence, he said, there's good sides on both people. There's good people on both sides. When Trump could have said, stop the police, he said, we need law and order, right? And he tried to cajole Biden into saying one of his party lines, which is, we need law and order. And Biden didn't do it, right? Because he understands that. He understands that his base. There is no polarization. The other man plays for a different team, your man plays for a different team. All
Wow.
we're trying to find out now, who has the better set of fans.
That's true.
That's all it
That's
is.
very true. And the question is, the reason why I think he might win or will win is the fact that we don't really hear from the fans who are just keeping quiet. They're just watching, isn't
Exactly, because the fans are
it?
keeping quiet are the ones who's making the vote
Yeah,
happen.
they're gonna make the vote happen,
So
aren't
there you go. So, final words, what do you think so far?
Let's see what happens in the second debate. I think they're going to try and put in some new rules to make the debate more controlled. Because Chris Wallace really struggled, man.
You know what? I figured something out in my line of work.
All right.
If you don't have a strategy for sanctions, then there are no sanctions.
Okay.
There are no sanctions. There's no strategy for sanctions on a debate.
Yeah.
So there will be no sanctions. They will simply say the next person is just going to struggle with Trump.
Yeah, but it's etiquette, isn't it?
Etiquette has no sanctions. It's just gauche. It's just it's frowned upon, but there's no penalty for it.
No, but hold on. Just briefly on this, the fact that if I'm going to start a fight with you, right, and we step outside, there's etiquette that I'm not just going to throw a cheap shot at you. You know what I mean? Even if I knock you out, I know I did wrong, and everyone will know I did wrong on
that's
that.
If you're morally obliged to think.
But hold on.
But listen, is Trump the kind of person who's going to feel bad about doing something wrong?
No, well, yeah. So that's the question. That's why it's difficult to predict.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's never a fair fight if one person's willing to play dirty, and that one person is willing to play dirty in this. Doesn't matter how respectful you are. It's never a fair fight if one person plays dirty. The other person's willing to play dirty. So your last words, and then we'll finish the episode.
I've said enough. To be honest with you.
I've said enough.
Yeah.
I'll say this. It doesn't matter how much it looks like Biden's winning. You won't know anything.
Ah, mate, I feel like he's going to win. I don't know what kind of world. You know, I thought about it the other day, and I was just like, oh, that's going to be scary. Like, virus, and then a second term of Trump. And, you know, these guys are really escalating at the moment. And I don't know, you know, because we're so directly linked with America, I don't know if that's just going to spill out onto us. Because there are Trump fans in this country.
Listen, I think you're being a bit much, because we're Africans. And the same thing that there's the same way there's a Trump in America, there's a Trump in Africa.
Okay.
There are African.
Well, I don't think they're we'll African, bother us.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, far right movements are across the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you go to Asia, they'll be like, these foreigners in this country.
Yeah.
If you go to Africa, they'll be like, these foreigners in this country.
Yeah.
If you go everywhere, nobody wants
That's
foreigners
so true.
Anymore.
That's true.
So let's not say anything, right?
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Enough is that.
So that's it then. Foreigners, be wary. Monkey fish out.